Thank you for the welcome for Becky and I. Seen recently about the wife who was concerned about her husband. She'd been listening to the news, and she knew he was on the motorway. And she heard on the news that there was a car going the wrong way down the motorway. She was very concerned about her husband, so she rang him up and she said, "Love, I'm really, really concerned about you. I know that you're on the motorway." She said, "I'm afraid that there is one car going the wrong way down the motorway." And he said, "Love, it's not just one. It's hundreds of them." Also, I was hearing about Dennis Thatcher being interviewed years ago, married to Maggie as Prime Minister. And the interviewer said to him, "Dennis, who wears the trousers in your house? Do you wear the trousers?" And he says, "Of course I wear the trousers, and I wash and iron them as well." It's good to laugh, isn't it? It's a medicine. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28. This evening I want us to look at one of the greatest leaders in the Bible. And I want to ask the question, why was David such a great leader? You know, when we look at David, we see that he was a man of vision. We see that he was a man of courage. He was a strong man. He wasn't knocked off course. He had great faith. He was a passionate man. He had the ability to gather people together and form them into a team. These are the attributes of a good leader. But what was it that raised David from being a good leader here to a great leader up here? From being a good leader to being an absolutely outstanding leader. It's that quality that I want us to look at tonight. I believe that that factor was that he was a man after God's own heart. When God identified David to Samuel as the man who should be king, God said this through Samuel. He said to Samuel, "Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." It's just over a year ago now, the 12th of January, that I was reading 1 Chronicles 28. It was one of those experiences where you read God's word and it just blows you away. It was one of those occasions where, as I read about David, and as I meditated on his heart, it just blew me away. So let's read this account that really shows us something of David's heart. David summoned all the officials of Israel to assemble at Jerusalem, the officers over the tribes and commanders of the divisions in the service of the king, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of all the property and livestock belonging to the king and his sons, together with the palace officials, the mighty men, and all the brave warriors. King David rose to his feet and said, "Listen to me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God. And I made plans to build it. But God said to me, 'You are not to build a house for my name, because you are a warrior and have shed blood.' Yet the Lord, the God of Israel, chose me from my whole family to be king over Israel forever. He chose Judah as leader, and from the house of Judah he chose my family. And from my father's sons he was pleased to make me king over all Israel and of all my sons. And the Lord has given me many. He has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. He said to me, Solomon, your son, is the one who will build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if he is unswerving in carrying out my commands and laws, as is being done at this time. So now I charge you in the sight of all Israel and of the assembly of the Lord and in the hearing of our God, be careful to follow all the commands of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and pass it on as an inheritance to your descendants forever. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a temple, a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the portico of the temple and its buildings, its storerooms, its upper parts, its inner rooms, and the place of atonement. He gave him the plans of all that the Spirit had put in his mind for the courts of the temple of the Lord and all the surrounding rooms. David goes on to describe in detail the articles that will go in it. And then we come to verse 19. All this, David said, I have in writing from the hand of the Lord upon me. And he gave me understanding in all the details of the plan. David also said to Solomon his son, be strong and courageous, and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that it's true. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit who inspired it. And Lord, I pray that that same Holy Spirit would come, and that he would minister truth into our hearts tonight. That he would speak to us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would take me, fill me, use me for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I look at this passage, I see three things about David's heart. And I want to share those three things with you tonight. First of all, I see a surrendered heart, a humble heart, and a thankful heart. It's often when things don't go as we plan, when things don't go the way that we wanted, that we discover the true condition of our heart. It's in those times when it's hard that we discover the true condition of our heart. That is exactly the context that we see David's heart in here. David's plans are suddenly snatched from him. And in response to that, we see what kind of a heart he really has. Just in case there's somebody here tonight and you're thinking I'm only speaking to leaders because David was a leader, not so. This principle applies to every single one of us. You know, we can't all be great leaders, can we? We don't all have the same gifting. We don't all have the same anointing. Because God gives those things, not us. They're not in our hands. You know, we can take the gifting that God has given us and we can work on it. We can improve it. We can make it better. We can hone it. And we can pray and cry out to God for anointing. And in His grace, He may give it. But those things are not in our hands, they're in God's. But there's something that is in your hands tonight. Something that is in my hands tonight. Something that is clearly and squarely in our hands. And that is the condition of our hearts. Every single one of us in this room can have a surrendered, humble, thankful heart. It's not in God's hands, that's in your hands. And that will lift us, whatever we are doing, it'll lift us from here, way up here. It doesn't matter what job you have in the church or what job you have in society. If you have a humble, surrendered, thankful heart, God will lift you up there. Your effectiveness will soar. You will move from being good to being great. You'll move from being good to being outstanding. And that's what God wants. Isn't that what you want? Do you want to be mediocre? Or do you want to be the best that you can be? You need a heart like David's. Proverbs 4:23. I love this verse. Above all else, guard your heart. Why? For it is the wellspring of life. God is saying this is important. This isn't secondary stuff. This is primary stuff. Above all else, guard your heart. Because it's the wellspring of life. If your heart is full of pollution tonight, if your heart is a cesspool, it will minister death, not life. Is that what you want? If your heart is surrendered to God, it's a humble heart, a thankful heart, there'll be a wellspring of the Spirit of God flowing from you, ministering life. David was a life giver. You know, David didn't suck the life out of everybody. Have you been around people like that? You're in the presence and they just suck the life out of you. And you go away from being with them for half an hour and you feel like you're almost dead. You think, goodness me, they've drained me dry. David wasn't like that. David is one of those people that when you're in the presence, they just flow life into you. David, you just flowed life into Solomon. You just poured it in. When you go away from somebody like that, you think, wow, boy, oh boy, do I feel good. I feel full of life. I've been vitalized. That was David. He was a life giver because of this well that sprung up from within him. There will be seasons when we need help. There will be seasons when we need people to minister life to us. I went through such a season in 2007, the worst year of my life. And I needed people to minister life to me. I needed it. There was a defining moment which brought me out of that season. The defining moment was the 4th of January 2008. I went on a retreat to Coombe Martin in Devon. And I knelt down by the side of my bed that morning and I cried out to God. I cried out to God to take my life afresh. I surrendered all. I gave Him everything. God could have told me to do anything, and I would have done it. It was a defining moment of re-surrendering all to God. That brought me into a new era. It moved me from being down here to up here in a moment. In a moment. If you want to be lifted from where you are tonight, then it's your heart. It's your heart. That's the issue. So David's heart was surrendered. He basically had this vision to build the temple. This vision that was burning in his heart. Verse 3 said, I had it in my heart. Heart is a place of passion. He was passionate to do it. He was desperate to do it. He was longing to do it. And God says to David, you're not the man. You're not the man. You're not the man. David could so easily have said, no, Lord. I don't want to hear that. No, Lord. No, Lord is an oxymoron. Do you remember Peter? Jesus had just told the disciples that he would suffer and he would die. Peter says, no, Lord. No, Lord. What did Jesus do? Jesus looked at Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. He said, that is from the kingdom of darkness, Peter. That is from the pit. That's not from my kingdom. No, Lord, is rebellion against God. No, Lord, is not God's kingdom at all. It's Satan's kingdom. You're in rebellion against God. It's the fruit of a rebellious heart. We do not determine the plan. I don't determine the plan. You don't determine the plan. God determines the plan. But because God is such a gracious, loving Heavenly Father, so often He gives us the desires of our heart. But not always. But not always. David had a desire to build the temple of God, and God said no. David didn't argue with God. David didn't say, well, I'm just going to do it anyway. I'm just going to carry on. Don't care what you say, God. I'm just going to do it anyway. No. He tells all the people, he stands up, he gathers all the people, and he stands up in front of them, and he says to everybody, I want you to know that I'm not the man. Solomon's the man. And then he turns to Solomon, and he looks into his eyes, and he says, Solomon, you're the man. You're the man. Son, you're the man. He was surrendered to the will of God. I want to ask you a question tonight. I want you to be honest. Because God knows the answer to this anyway. The question I want to ask you is, are you hacked off with God tonight? Are you? Are you hacked off with God because the plan that you wanted, He's given it to somebody else? How could He? That was the plan I wanted. And you've given it to somebody else. Or something that you held very dear. And God has taken it away. And so you're hacked off with God. On the 2nd of January, 2008, that was me. Came to the new year. New Year's Eve was a miserable evening. As I look back over the previous year, in the March, God had taken my wife to be with Himself. And in the November, he'd taken my father-in-law, who was my dad. My biological dad had died when I was 21. My father-in-law was my dad. First of January, I was hacked off with God. But, on the 4th of January, I surrendered. The song says there is no joy, no peace, no thrill, like walking in His will, for me to live is Christ. Being in the will of God, surrendered to Him, is the most exciting, is the most thrilling life to live. Because the Holy Spirit is welling up within you. The life giver is giving you life. I am so glad that I surrendered. I asked the guys who were with me on that retreat, Andrew and Nick, I said, please pray that God would give me passion. I said, I'm a passionate man with no passion. I've lost my passion. Lost passion for life. Lost passion for the church. Lost passion for those who don't yet know Christ. Boy, oh boy. The 4th of January. Bang! Passion back. Passion for the lost. Passion for life. Passion for the church. And I've not lost it. The life giver. Giving that passion. So David was surrendered to the will of God. Secondly, David had a humble heart. You know, I just love this story. I love the fact that he stood in front of the people and said, I'm not the man. Don't you love that? I'm not the man. I love the way that he looks at Solomon and he says, you're the man. What humility. You know, pride would say, why should he get the job? I'm top dog. I'm king. I'm the man. I've got the track record. I've won many battles. I know I can do it. This young upstart might mess up. He might make a pig's ear of this important building. How can I trust him with it, Lord? I'm the man. Not him. Please don't give it to him. Give it to me. I'm the man. You know, attitudes live together in families. And pride lives with envy and jealousy. They stick together like glue. And they would encourage pride to stand up for himself. I'm sure that Satan was trying to whip these things up in David's heart. For him to say, I'm the top dog. I'm the man. Stuff you, Solomon. I'm going to do it anyway. But David didn't focus on altitude. He focused on attitude. That's the difference. Where is your focus? If your focus is on altitude, your heart is wrong. There's pride there. You need to focus on attitude. Yes, he was king. He was top dog. He was the ruler. But his heart towards Solomon was, son, your success is my honour. Son, I want to bless you. Son, I want you to succeed. Son, I'm going to do everything I can for you. If we'd have carried on reading to the next chapter, he holds a gift there. And David raises equivalent of millions of pounds. He handed Solomon success on a plate. Couldn't fail. Now, David, on the other hand, could have said, you know, get your own plans. You know, I sought God for these plans. Tough, get your own. I didn't get that advantage in life. You know, I had to work hard. My dad didn't do that for me. So come on, get on with it, son. Seek God and get your own plans. And I'm not going to give you any help. Do it yourself. You know, if you think you can do it, get on with it. Not at all. That wasn't David's heart. When you hand over a position in the church to somebody else, what's your heart? Are you secretly inside hoping that they'll do a worse job than you? So people come and slap you on the back and say, oh, when you did it, Fred, it was so much better. You were the man. Or is your heart, I'm going to pass on everything I can to the new person. I'm going to resource them as much as I can. I want them to go further than I went. I want that department to be far better than when I was there. I'm going to do everything I can to help and resource them. That's what David did. And David didn't mind that Solomon would get the glory. Whose temple do we talk about? Solomon's. We do, don't we? David doesn't even come into it, does he? David got the plans. David had the vision. David got the resources together. But it's Solomon's temple. That's how it should be, church. Light in Life, one of our values is servant leadership. And we have this little motto, your success is my honour. Your success is my honour. If every single person in the church lived by that motto, wouldn't it be fantastic? Comes straight out of Scripture, doesn't it? Philippians 2, basically. As I look at David's heart, I see that he modelled that motto beautifully. You know, humility is a core value in the kingdom of God. Jesus made it clear that unless you humble yourself and become as a child, you won't even get into the kingdom. Not childish, but childlike. Trusting. Humble. It's the only way to get into the flow of grace. It's the only way to get into the life of the kingdom. It's the only way to stay in it. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you want to stay in the flow of kingdom life, if you want to be receiving God's free gifts of grace, then you'd better keep humble. Because the moment you think you're the man, or you're the woman, God opposes you. Do you want to be in opposition to God? You'll not get very far. No. God loves a humble heart. I don't care how gifted you are. If you are proud, then you are useless to God. And you are dangerous in this church. Let me say that again. I don't care how gifted you are. If you are proud, you are useless to God, and you are dangerous in this church. Philippians 2, God commands us to have a humble attitude like Christ. You see, a humble heart is interested in others, and it builds them up. A proud heart is interested in self and pulls others down. That's a difference. Are you somebody that builds people up? Are you somebody that pulls them down? So David's heart was surrendered. It was humble. And lastly, it was thankful. I just love it in verse 4. Where David has said, I'm not the man. And then he just bursts into thanksgiving. And he's saying, oh, I'm so grateful. You know, out of all the tribes, God chose mine. Out of all my family, God chose me to be king. He's saying, oh, wow, it's amazing. I'm so grateful for what God has given me. And he said, of all my sons, God has chosen one. I'm so grateful that Solomon is a man. David could have equally drawn up a gripe list instead of a gratitude list. He could have said, God, you're doing it again. You did it when I was hounded by Saul. I was hiding in caves. I had a rotten time. It wasn't good, God. And then he could say, God, you did it with Absalom. Absalom robbed me of the throne. I went through anguish of Absalom. He could have said, God, remember the time when I was pleading for my baby's son? He was sick and I was saying, God, please don't take him. And you took him. And now you're doing it again. I've got this passion in my heart that's burning to build the temple. And you're taking it away from me. Is that your heart tonight? A grumbling heart? And you're saying, God, why this? God, why that? God, why the other? Why is it that you give me such a hard time? Why do I have to suffer so much? If that's what's in your heart tonight, I can guarantee you that your heart is not surrendered to God. Because when we have a surrendered heart, other things are present. Just as when we've a proud heart, it attracts jealousy and envy. When we've a surrendered heart, humility and thankfulness just automatically happen. Remember when I surrendered afresh to God, I suddenly started thanking God again. Nothing had changed except me. I was so grateful for all the people that had prayed for me. All the people that had cared for me. All the people that had ministered to me. And I would sit in the lounge and there'd just be this flood of thankfulness bursting out of me. I was so grateful. And since then, there have been many other things that I'm grateful for. Since then, God has brought into my life a lovely wife, Becky. And I'm so thankful to God for that. God has poured many blessings into my life. I want to close by challenging you and asking you the question, how's your heart? How's your heart? Is it surrendered to God? Is it humble? Is it thankful? Those things are in your hands tonight. You can walk through those doors with a heart that is complaining, with a heart that's griping, with a heart that's proud. Or you can come to the front as the musicians now come and play, and you can say to God, I surrender all. I lay it all down again. I give you my life afresh. I surrender. Let's pray. Lord, your word says that unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Oh God, we want to be fruitful. Oh God, we don't want to be mediocre. We want to be the best that we can be for you. And Lord, I pray that by your Spirit you would come as we sing together a song that the musicians choose. Father, I just pray that you would come. That you would move our hearts, soften our hearts. In Jesus' name. Let's stand. And as we sing, you come. Surrender your heart afresh and for the first time.